哈利路亚，大家平安。
Hallelujah, peace be with everyone.
在我们开始今天晚上的敬拜聚会之前，我们一起预备心，同心默祷。
To begin our worship, let's bow heads and pray in silence to prepare our hearts.
阿门。奉主耶稣圣名开始我们今天晚上的圣经讲习会。
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, beginning this evening's Bible seminar.
我们请一起来吟诗赞美神。
Let's sing a hymn to praise our God.
133首。
Hymn
133. 哈利路亚，我们在座诸位耶稣基督所亲爱的，大家晚安，大家平安。
Good evening and peace to be with you all, brothers and sisters in Christ.
小弟姓赖。
My last name is Lai.
很高兴有机会来到我们这个地方圣何西，跟大家一起来敬拜主耶稣。
I'm glad to be able to worship the Lord here together with all brothers and sisters from San Jose.
这是小弟第一次到美国。
This is my first time here in the United States.
乡巴佬来到这里呀，什么都很新奇。
Everything here seems new to me.
这边是第三站。
This is my third stop.
上个礼拜在伯恩。
Two weeks ago, I was at Baldwin Park Church.
然后上个礼拜，是在那个，Garden Grove.
And last week I was at Garden Grove.
今天来到这边。
And now I'm here.
能够受到大家接待，愿主耶稣纪念。
May the Lord remember all your love and hospitality.
因为恩赐不太好，所以这个喉咙有点嗓了。
And so my voice is, I lost my voice a little bit.
声音不太好听，请大家原谅。
So, hopefully you'll bear with me here.
今天接下来利用三个晚上跟大家稍微来查考新约圣经里面的希伯来书这一卷。
So I'll spend the next few evenings discussing contents from the book of Hebrews.
在英文钦定本里面，在几百年前的英文钦定本曾经有一个句子。
So there is a particular phrase as in.
希伯来书下面有小字说，是使徒保罗写给希伯来人的信。
There's a subtext in one of the versions of the Bible stating that this book is a letter to the Hebrews from the Apostle Paul.
但是在当时中世纪的欧洲有很多神学院。
But there were a lot of theological seminaries in the Middle Ages of Europe.
他们却流行着一个开玩笑式的问话。
They had a question that's meant to be a lighthearted joke.
他们说保罗写给希伯来人的信到底是谁写的呢？
Who wrote the letter of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews?
那为什么？因为表示说从几百年前开始，这就有很多争论。
Is to highlight the fact that there's a lot of controversy and dispute about who actually was the author.
那我们既然要比较深入的了解希伯来书，
so we want to have a deeper understanding of the book of Hebrews.
所以我们当然要从他的作者写书的时间跟背景来做一点简单的了解。
You have to have a basic understanding of the author, the era which is written, and the geographical background.
因为在我们真耶稣教会的传统上，我们也说希伯来书是保罗写的。
Because it's traditionally held by the members of the True Jesus Church that Paul was the letter of this particular letter.
我不晓得我们真耶稣教会在美国被这些地方的其他基督教派怎么来看。
And I don't know what is opinion for those of us here in the United States.
但是在我们台湾我们真耶稣教会有一点很出名。
But in Taiwan, this one particular thing that True Jesus Church is known for.
就是我们非常认真看待圣经。
Which is that we study the Bible extensively.
我们很重视圣经。
We emphasize the content of the Bible.
所以别人派来踢馆的，也一定是他们当中对圣经很了解的。
And so when other people from other denominations come to debate with us, they will send their best in terms of biblical knowledge.
我先说翻译不要紧张那个犯错我都不会生气的，我从来没有对翻译凶过。我感谢主那个慢慢翻这个不用翻了 过去这几年我接触过其他教派的长老、牧师、传道、执事。
Over the years, I've met different elders and pastors, reverends from various denominations.
到最后啊，我们要沟通，一定不是闲聊，一定要拿出圣经。
And when we talk, we don't really just stay in idle casual conversation. Sooner or later, we discuss the Bible.
所以为什么小弟没有直接进入希伯来书的内容呢？
So why is it that I have yet to go into the content of the book of Hebrews?
因为除了内容之外，其他我们也要掌握它的重点。
Because we have to first understand the main point of this book.
首先，因为希伯来书的争议之一就是它的作者。
Because what makes Hebrews unique is its author.
这个等一下我们谈到。
And we'll discuss more about this later.
那所以作者啊，到底是谁？等一下我们继续查考哦。
So who was the author? We can study this a little later on.
我们先了解圣灵借着希伯来书启示我们的方式。
Let's first see how the Holy Spirit uses the book of Hebrews to give us additional understanding.
如果以主耶稣来想的话，很类似主耶稣在世界上的时候他做过的某一件事。
The content of this letter is a reflection of something that Jesus done a number of times while he was here on earth.
就是主耶稣在以马忤斯的路上遇见门徒所做的那一件事。
And this thing was what he did when he met the two disciples walking on the road from Emmaus.
我们请看新约圣经路加福音二十四章。
Let's turn to Luke chapter 24.
路加福音二十四章的二十七节。
Luke chapter 24, verse 27.
你直接用英文念好，麻烦你。
Luke 24 verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophecy and expounding to them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself.
这里在描写主耶稣那个时候复活之后，在以马忤斯遇见的两个门徒。
This is what Jesus did with two disciples that he met on the road to Emmaus.
然后就跟他们讲了一段话。
He had a conversation with them.
对于主耶稣跟这两个门徒所讲的这一段话，以二十七节来点出这一段话的结论跟内容。
Verse 27 serves as a summary and conclusion of what Jesus did with these two disciples.
所以二十七节说，从摩西和众先知起，凡经上所指着自己的话。
Verse 27, he spoke all.The things concerning himself in the scriptures, starting with Moses and the prophets.
那我请问大家，这一个经节指的是我们现在手头这本圣经的哪一个部分？
Which part of the Bible is referred to here?
可见我们这边的传道很少用 Q&A， 我看大家完全都没有反应。我在台湾我注目过的教会哈，我一天到晚在跟他们对话，连安息日都一样。
This is quite a crowd. When I was ministering in the churches back in Taiwan, even sermons will almost be like a discussion and back and forth between the preacher and the audience.
因为我常常想象，两千年前如果我跟着耶稣的话，耶稣常常会跟我 Q&A， 因为我看出来他这样子。
Because we can see that the discussion that Jesus had with people is two ways.
所以我觉得这样子大家比较不容易打瞌睡了。你们被问到不会，不要生气哟，好不好？不要来骂小弟啊。
And so let's go ahead and try this out, and so that we can stay focused.
问你就想一想，有反应就有反应啊，答错了都没不会怎么样，好不好 ？OK 的。
So whatever questions I ask, let's go ahead and think about it, and don't be afraid to give a wrong answer.
好，那我们回到刚刚那个问题呀。
Let's go back to the question I just asked.
刚刚说二十七节前半节，其实就是我们现在圣经所讲的哪个部分
？What portion of the Bible is mentioned in?
有人有反应了哈，谢谢你。就是我们现在这个圣经里面的旧约的那一个部分啊。
It's referring to the Old Testament.
那主耶稣当场把它讲解明白了，就类似我们现在圣经的哪个部分？我们说你说的哪个部分
？And what Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand is what part of the Bible?
就是后来耶稣基督借着众使徒留给我们的新约经文，是不是这样子？
It is the New Testament that Jesus is trying to give understanding to here, right?
所以这一节在讲主耶稣自己成了那一座桥，旧约跟新约的桥，把它连接起来了。
So Jesus here was linking the Old Testament to the New Testament like a bridge.
所以我们现在看的这本希伯来书这一卷又有另外一个名称。
And so there is another name that is often used to refer to the book of Hebrews.
叫做新旧约之桥，就是这么来的。
Which is the bridge from the Old to the New Testament.
因为里面引用了，它是新约二十七卷里面引用的最多旧约经文的。
Of all the books in the New Testament, it uses the most Old Testament references.
可是他在讲的完全是新约里面耶稣基督给我们有关福音的道理。
But it spoke only of the gospel of the Lord Jesus that is in the New Testament.
所以今天所有的内容你可以忘光，至少这个题目要记得。希伯来书另外一个名称叫做新旧约之桥，好不好
？So if I want you to remember one thing for tonight, let's remember that the New Testament, the book of Hebrews is the bridge between the Old and New Testament.
但是它有第三个名称这一卷。
But there's also another name to this book.
因为这里面小弟刚刚说，它引用很多旧约的经文。
The book of Hebrews, as I mentioned, used a lot of Old Testament texts.
但是它特别多的引用了旧约某一卷当中的经文。
But it drew a lot from a particular book of the Old Testament.
就是摩西五经当中的利未记。
Which is the book of Leviticus from the Pentateuch.
所以我们发觉在希伯来书里面讲到很多旧约有关献祭、有关祭司这些相关的经文。
The book of Hebrews expounded a lot upon the priesthood and various offerings.
也因此它的第三个别名叫做新约里面的利未记。
And so it's often called the book, the Leviticus of the New Testament.
好，那我们就了解说哦。这边一讲它的名称，我们大概都抓到希伯来书这一卷的重点在哪里啦。
From these three names, we can grasp the main focus of this book.
好，那我们现在接下来来讲我们刚才讲的争论点，就是希伯来书的作者。
I previously discussed the dispute about who is the author of the book of Hebrews.
我们真耶稣教会跟某些教派持的是传统论点，认为这一卷的作者是使徒保罗。
Jesus Church and some other denomination and raise the point that it's most likely the Apostle Paul.
但是某些圣经学者或某些教派，他们认为作者不是保罗。
But other denominations and scholars think that the author is another person.
那我告诉大家，不要有先入为主的观念，我们现在都拿出来分析，为什么？因为我们很重视圣经嘛，对不对
？But and this is something we can discuss because it's all related to the Bible.
所以不管。等这一节讲完之后，你决定支持哪一种？啊，小弟有小弟的结论呐，哈。
We can draw our own conclusion on who was the author.
至少你要知道反对你的是哪一种论点，这样你跟他谈的时候，他才会比较心服口服，比较啦。
But it's good to know the other viewpoints so that it's better understanding when you discuss this with others.
啊，免得我们一谈圣经说啊，这个作者就是保罗。万一他举出一些论点，我们听都没听过，我们当场就落在下风啦。
Because otherwise, then we take my way or the highway mentality, then we will be unprepared to listen to what others have to say.
首先，我们来想支持作者是保罗的论点是什么
？So what are the evidence that support the Apostle Paul as the author？
这个论点从一开始主要是由世界上某一个基督教派。他们公认的就是我们所听过的东方正教会，有没有听过
？And the first proponent of this Paul as the author came from the Eastern Orthodox Church.
对，这个你们要在电视里面要是常常看到那个俄罗斯总统普丁啊，旁边站了一个戴帽帽、全身都黑色、拿着香炉的，那就是他们的大主教啊。
The Eastern Orthodox Church is the main faith of the country of Russia.
这个东方正教会其实也是基督教派。
It is one of many Christian denominations.
但是他们的圣经直接读的是原来的希腊文。
And they read the Bible in its original Greek.
我们现在世界上有很多基督教派，有两个人数最多的。
Of all the denominations in the world, there are two that have the most adherents.
一个就是我们所称的西方的传统教会，就是罗马天主教。
One is the Roman Catholic Church.
另外一个就是所谓相对于西方以罗马为主的，在它东边的叫做东方希腊正教。
And then also the Eastern Orthodox Church, which is based in European countries east of Rome.
那这个讲到教会历史，这两个教会其实是同一个教会分裂出来的。
These two churches was formed as a result of the breakup of a singular church.
简单一点哈，从主耶稣建立他的教会之后，直到主耶稣升天，这是第一阶段。
The establishment of the church can be separated into different eras. The first, concluded after Jesus ascended to heaven.
接下来，主耶稣借着他众使徒在引导教会，所以叫做使徒教会，这是第二阶段。
The next era is the era of the apostles, which started with the descent of the Holy Spirit and the works of the apostles.
所以大家还记得吗？我们真耶稣教会的十大信条里面提到说，要相信我们真耶稣教会是承继什么教会？啊，对，使徒教会啊，感谢主哈。
As believers of the True Jesus Church, we believe that our True Jesus Church is a direct continuation of the Apostolic Church.
对，是完于圣灵所建立的教会。
Established by the Holy Spirit in the era of the latter rain.
好，那当那些使徒全部都离世了，都死光的时候，进入第三阶段叫什么教会呢？
After the apostles have all passed on, then they moved on to the next era of the church.
在当时使徒离开之后，某些地方教会有一些特别会解经、特别有恩赐的这些圣职人员
，They were left with a number of holy workers who are particularly gifted in interpreting scripture.
我们把他们称为教父
，We call them church fathers.
所以第三阶段使徒教会之后，叫做教父的教会。
So the third era is called the era of the church fathers.
那这教父的教会延续一段时期，一直到罗马皇帝跟罗马帝国跟教会结合在一起。
This era continued until the establishment of Christianity as the national religion of Rome.
教会因为大量的资源跟政治势力，非常快速的扩张。
The influx of political support allowed the church to then grow very rapidly.
这个时候进入了第四阶段，他们有个名称呢，我们叫做中文翻作大公教会，其实英文叫翻作普世性的教会啦。
And then we thus enter the era of the Catholic Church, which is, in other words, a universal church.
应该不是 Catholic Church， 然后就是他们那个时候还没有正式跟现在罗马天主教不太一样。
So it's，
对不起呢， yeah. 有点困难了、啊。Mm-hmm. 你们听得懂就好了啦，好不好？好，然后这个大公教会一直维持到1054年。
This universal church went on until around 1054.
因为在教会里面，对于某些，比如说有人认为要拜圣母玛利亚，有人认为不可以拜圣母玛利亚，以及这三位一体其他的争论。
There were some disputes that arose within the ranks of the church about the worshiping of Mary and the saints as.
对，所以还有某些教义上要不要拜图像、拜图像等等的问题啦，哦。
Questions regarding idolatry.
所以那时候所谓的普世性的教会就分裂为两边呢。1054年
So this universal church in 1054 AD split into two sects.
好，那就是我们现在分裂为西边的罗马天主教以及东边的东方正教会，就是这样来的。
The Western sect became the Roman Catholic Church. The Eastern sect became the Eastern Orthodox Church.
好，那我们讲这个为什么东方正教会又叫做东方希腊正教会？
The Eastern Orthodox Church is also called the Greek Orthodox Church.
其实你看这个 Orthodox Church， 它不是只有希腊人在相信。
Because this Orthodox faith is not just adhered to by the Greeks.
它现在主要是散居在中欧，就是旧苏俄本来边缘的那些国家，包括希腊某些地区，很大的一块啊。
The range of the The extent of the Orthodox faith extends to Central Europe and the Slavic countries.
那是因为他们用直接读的神职人员直接读的圣经是希腊文圣经，所以叫做东方希腊正教会，是这样来的。
But it's called the Greek Orthodox Church because the church ministers read the Bible in Greek.
所以他们直接看 2000年前那个希腊原文的圣经哦。
So they're able to read the Greek original text that the Bible was written with.
为什么讲这个？表示说他们对于原来2000年前经文的感受，跟我们现在读中文或英文的翻译本是不太一样的。我在这背景下讲到这样，结论是这样子啊。
And their ability to read the original text means that they have an additional layer of understanding about the quality of the text compared to us who just read translations.
所以他们在读经文，读得出说这一篇文字他写的优不优美，里面的文词高不高雅，了解小弟的意思吗？
And so in reading the original text, they can discern the semantics of the letters.
就好像我们英文看惯了，你就会知道那英文写出来的程度会有差别。
If we are well versed in reading English, then we can tell whether a particular article is written with a lot of learning or just is very plain.
中文也一样啊。
Same thing goes for Chinese.
所以他们在读了希伯来书之后，他们认为说，哇，这个希伯来书里面的用字遣词句子，那种文采非常的高雅，很高尚，文笔很厉害啊。
And those who read the book of Hebrews in its original Greek text can tell that the author used very profound vocabulary and description. It's a very well-written letter.
对，跟其他的新约的书信比较起来，特别好。
It is particularly outstanding among the other New Testament letters.
然后加上东方正教会比西方罗马天主教更重视使徒的传统，就是这个原因呢、啊。
And the Eastern Orthodox Church is more focused on maintaining the traditions of the apostles.
所以他们就要从使徒里面找一个特别会写文章、程度很高的，要跟他 connection。
So they try to see who among the apostles match this author in their learning and writing pearls.
因此他们认为说希伯来书的作者一定是保罗。
So they say that the author Hebrews must be Paul.
因为你知道吗？使徒里面保罗的受教育程度最高。
Because Paul has the most amount of learning from among the apostles.
他原来是经士。
That he started off as a religious elite.
他是文士中的文士。
He was the scribe among the scribes.
所以这是第一个，为什么希腊正教会支持希伯来书的作者是保罗？第一个论点了哈。
This is the first point why the Eastern Orthodox Church believed that Paul was the author.
那可是这一点会产生一个疑问，在新约各书卷里面，只要是保罗写的，我们发现保罗一定会讲自己的名字。
But among all the letters written that were known to be written by Paul, Paul always stated his name.
可是唯独希伯来书哦，你从头读到尾，完全作者都没有提到自己是谁。
But the author of Hebrews never referred to himself in the letter.
那所以支持希伯来书作者是保罗的，就必须找出一个论点来说明。
So those who held that it was Paul who wrote the letter needed to present additional evidence.
他们认为跟这一点有关系。我们来看加拉太书二章八节。
Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 8.
那感动彼得，叫他为受割礼之人做使徒的，也感动我，叫我为外邦人做使徒。Amen. 这个需要念吗？还是不用？
I can read it. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship and the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles.
没关系，如果你们这边为了节省时间不念的话，就不念英文版的，需要吗？我请教一下。
无所谓啊。
无所谓啊。好了，哎呀，那刚才看到的就是说，保罗是做外邦人使徒的。
So Paul was mentioned here himself as the apostle to the Gentiles.
那所以他不是做犹太人使徒。
He's not considered himself an apostle to the Jews.
我们在读其他新约的经卷，发觉犹太人的弟兄姐妹有一大部分对保罗不是很谅解跟认识，有没有发觉
？If you read through the various events in the New Testament, can you get a sense that Paul's not particularly welcome among the Jewish brethren?
因为保罗所主张的神学思想跟2000年前部分犹太人的基督徒弟兄姐妹有很大的出入。
Because Paul's believe often come into a strong conflict with the belief held by many Jewish members at the time.
所以使徒彼得跟约翰他们被犹太人弟兄姐妹广为接受。
And so the other apostles like Peter and John were broadly accepted by the Jewish believers.
可是使徒保罗在当时犹太人的弟兄姐妹当中，有人不想听见他的名字跟讲道。
But many Jewish brethren did not want to hear what Paul had to say.
也就是说有偏见呐。
Because they were biased against him.
所以保罗他故意，因为他可能觉得。支持者说，他认为这一卷很重要，为了不让人家因为偏见不读他的信，所以故意不写自己的名字。
So proponents of Paul's authorship say that Paul, for the sake of not wanting Jewish believers to be turned off toward this letter, purposely omitted his name.
我们华人有一句话说，不要以人废言，以人立言，你知道意思吗？不要因为这个人就不同意他说的话。
We should not shut down a particular opinion just because of the messenger.
对啊，你不喜欢他，就把他所有的话都认为是错的，不要这样子。
We cannot just assume whatever person that we don't like, whatever they say is a lie.
也不要因为你喜欢他，就以为他讲的全部都是对的，这个不好。
And we cannot assume whatever person we like is correct in whatever they say.
可是支持者认为保罗考虑到人性这一点的软弱，他故意不写自己的名字，然后这是第二个论点呐、啊。
So the proponents of Paul's authorship said that Paul, for the sake of not alienating the Jewish readers, omitted his own name.
那支持者的第三个论点
，and this is another third point of evidence.
他们把希伯来书这一卷里面提到的几个跟福音相关的一些重点。
They brought up a couple of points about the content of this particular letter.
我们用专业一点名词叫做希伯来书里面的神学思想。
Which are the main theological points of this letter?
跟其他经卷里面保罗书信里面所提到的是十分的相近。
A lot of what is discussed theologically was very similar to other points brought up in Paul's other letters.
比如保罗比起彼得跟约翰来讲，他更强调因信得生这件事情。
Paul strongly emphasizes justification by faith.
对，不是因为割礼，不是因为外在的行为，而是单纯因心里面的相信。
Justification comes not from our status or our circumcision.
还有保罗比起其他的使徒，他更强调我们所谓的十字架神学。
And Paul also expounds a lot about the doctrine of the cross.
有没有？他更强调十字架对他的意义。
He speaks of the power and the benefit of the cross.
所以他曾经说过啊，十字架对他来讲，世界好像已经钉在十字架上了，有没有
？Paul must mention that the whole world has been crucified.
因为他是被拣选重生了
，because he has been chosen to be reborn。
还有其他的重点，希伯来书里面强调的都跟保罗一般在强调的有很大的相似性。
There's a lot of parallels between the content of Hebrews and that of Paul's other letters。
所以这是支持作者是保罗的第三个论点。
This is the third point of support that Paul was the author。
再来，我们刚才提到说，希伯来书它是新旧约之桥。
I mentioned earlier that Hebrews is the bridge between the Old and New Testament.
我们发觉这个作者他第一个十分熟悉旧约希伯来人的律法。
This author is quite well versed in the Old Testament laws.
然后这当中呢，他能够把它解释成圣灵的启示。
And he is able to explain it through the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
所以他不只非常熟悉旧约。的律法熟悉献祭的条例，他又十分深得基督教救恩要义的人。
So this person was very well versed in both the Old Testament laws as well as the tenets of faith in the New Testament.
那保罗他正好有这种特质，有没有？这两种特质。
And Paul fits the bill.
他是加玛列的门下。
He was a disciple of Gamaliel.
他是正宗的法利赛人。
He is a chief Pharisee.
他是文士经师，这些在新约经文都有提到，我们就不翻了哈。
And his his status has been expounded upon elsewhere in the Bible.
在加拉太书一章又提到，他强调自己是耶稣基督亲自启示拣选的使徒。
In Galatians chapter 1, he describes himself as an apostle personally chosen by the Lord Jesus.
这四点就是世界上目前支持希伯来书的作者是保罗的主要论点。
So these are the four main points of evidence supporting Paul's authorship of the book of Hebrews.
那我们传统真耶稣教会是采取这个路线呢
and the true Jewish church also adheres to this.
那我们现在来看不支持的、反对的，他们也有四个论点。
Let's also look at the evidence presented by those who do not believe that Paul was the author.
大家听听看呐、啊，至少当有人这样跟我们论道的时候啊，突然讲到这个，我们不能说那个背景我不想谈呐、啊，抱歉，那个坏了我要赔偿。
So let's understand this so that we do not dismiss it outright.
不行啊，我遇到外教会的长老跟牧师，他要跟我谈这个，我说我不想跟你谈这个，他什么都不要谈啊。
Because if we just shut down what other people have to say, then our conversation ends.
好，第一点不支持，是因为刚才讲到保罗在2000年前写给教会很多公开书信。
The first point of evidence is that 2000 years ago, Paul had written many letters.
我们来看两节，来看举其中两节的特色是什么？哈。
Let's take a look at the special characteristics. We'll look at two verses.
我们请看。新约圣经罗马书第一章第一节。
Romans chapter 1 verse 1.
罗马书一章一节。
Romans chapter 1 verse 1.
耶稣基督的仆人保罗，奉召为使徒，特派传神的福音。Amen.
Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God.
大家。罗马书是使徒保罗写给罗马地区弟兄姐妹的书信。
The book of Romans was written to the believers in the city of Rome.
请教大家，我把大家既然来参加圣经讲学都当成圣经读一百遍以上了啦。哎，保罗写这个书信的时候，他去过罗马吗
？When Paul wrote this particular letter, has he been to Rome yet？
对啊，就好像小弟第一次来美国，突然写了一封那么大的信。给你们圣侯 say， 你们会理我吗
？If I write a letter to everyone sitting here before I even came to the U.S., how many of you will actually take the time to read it？
刚才有人说传道，我拿八九年前的电话簿，完全找不到你的名字，你好像不是传道、
哦。Some people say I can't find you in phone books from about 10 years ago. Are you really a minister？
感谢主，大家有说啊，那个更新的很慢，不是你的错了。
But then I'll say that it just take a while to update those things.
你看那个第一节，保罗这样写，表示他。有没有很重视跟强调自己使徒的身份？会不会感受到
？Here we can see that Paul really emphasizes his status as an apostle.
我们再看后面《哥林多前书》第一章第一节。
Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1 as well.
你看，所有从保罗来的书信都有这个特征哦，《哥林多前书》第一章第一节。
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1。
奉神旨意蒙召做耶稣基督使徒的保罗，同兄弟所提尼 ，Amen。
Paul called to be apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God。
你看他一个这样讲话、写信的人，你觉得他有没有特别看重这件事
？Do you get a sense that he really emphasizes his own special status？
对不对？我来到这里，我还没有说奉神旨意做耶稣基督传道。为独一得救真教会所差派，我讲这个你们就昏倒了、
啊。I don't come here and repeat this to begin my sermons.
你就想想看，他为什么每一封信一开始都会去强调这个东西
？So let's think about why does Paul always emphasize this point?
其实当时保罗自己知道，你看哦，他写给哥林多教会，当时哥林多教会里面有没有很多反对他的？你读哥林多前书会不会感受到
？When you read the book of Corinthians, can you get a sense of the strong opposition to Paul in that church?
保罗这个哥林多前书等于是直接公开跟这些人对话，就是要辩论，你晓得吧
？Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians in a way to debate with his detractors there.
所以我们感受一下保罗的个性。他在坚持真理的这一点上是很强硬的，你有没有发觉
？So can you get a sense that Paul is very determined and unwavering in defending the faith？
他当时在教会里面，他自己也知道，有很多人不喜欢他，尤其是这犹太人背景的。
He knew that many people in the church disliked him, particularly those from Jewish backgrounds.
换句我们台湾那边的话，早就被人家点名做记号了。
If he is very so sensitive on this, then he already been marked as a black sheep.
如果是这样子，为什么在希伯来书信里面根本没有理由去写一封匿名信？你想一想，这是不知之者的论点啊。
Then.Why is it that he will suddenly decide to not mention himself at all when it comes to writing the book of Hebrews?
因为保罗不怕公开对敌，他常常公开宣告他使徒的权威。
Because Paul himself is not ashamed to proclaim his status as an apostle.
他的意思就是说，你再怎么不喜欢我，我告诉你，我就是使徒，意思就是这样子啦。
He wanted to experience to know that he is an apostle, whether or not the readers like that fact or not.
所以既然这样子，希伯来书干嘛匿名呢？大家能够理解吧？这是反对者的论点之一，哈。
So the reason goes, why would he then change his tune in the book of Hebrews?
好，第二点跟我们刚才提到的有相关，里面的神学思想跟保罗相近。
The second point is that although the theological points raised in this book is similar to that of his other letters.
用词遣字跟文句以希腊原文来讲很优美高雅。
The text, the Greek text used differs significantly in its splendor.
那我问大家，你觉得在其他书信读起来，保罗他说话或写信的语气怎么样？
If you were to read the other letters, how will you describe Paul's tone?
对，他觉得他高雅，是因为他觉得保罗是纯正法利赛人跟文士的背景，他推论是这样子。
And the reason why the text may be seen high and lofty is because of Paul's background as a Pharisee.
我带大家哈，因为讲到这个，也趁机再多认识一下使徒保罗嘛，好不好
？And our discussion is an opportunity for us to know the Apostle Paul more.
保罗在他书信当中有两个很重要的特质哦，一般其他使徒不会有的。
The two special characteristics of Paul that is absent in the other disciples.
第一个，他很喜欢用强烈刺激的质问词。
First, he liked to use very tough questions.
我带大家感受看看呢哈，如果我传道跟你这样讲话，你会很不舒服，甚至会生气哦。
If I were to practice what Paul does, then I can probably end up.I'm rallying on many of you.
我们请看哥林多前书九章八节。
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
我只是举例，其他你们自己要去找了哦。
This is just one of many examples.
哥林多前书九章八节。
1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8.
我说这话岂是照人的意见？律法不也是这样说吗
？Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also?
你看。他会用质问词，我岂是照人的意见？怎样怎样？听起来哦，有些弟兄姐妹不喜欢这样啊。
Paul's line of question is very direct and it can make people feel uncomfortable.
这个我赖昌义要是常常这样讲，他们一定说这个赖传道灵修不好。
If I use this way to talk through my sermons, and people will probably say that I have poor spiritual cultivation.
我们再看哥林多后书第一章十七节。
Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 17.
哥林多后书一章十七节。
Second Corinthians chapter one verse 17。
我有此意，岂是反复不定吗？我起的意，岂是从情欲起的？叫我忽是忽非吗
？Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh? That with me should be yes, yes, and no, no.
感受一下。
So you're trying to get a feel of this text.
我们再来看加拉太书一章十节。
Let's look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 10.
加拉太书一章十节。
Galatians chapter 1 verse 10.
我现在是要得人的心呢，还是要得神的心呢？我岂是讨人的喜欢吗？若人就讨人的喜欢，我就不是基督的仆人了。
For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? Or for if I please man, I will not be a bondservant of Christ.
感受一下。
Try to get a feel of the tone of the text.
我在这边讲到说，我讲道是给你们这些人听的吗？哇，你马上台总都叫我回去了。
He used a lot of direct and rhetorical questions.
啊，对对对，保罗他有这种风格，你感受得到吗
？So you see that there's a way to his writing.
他虽然有强大的知识跟背景，但是他讲话就是这么刺激，我们台湾话叫做很闲，有没有感受到？
Even though he is very well learned, yet he is very direct in his conversations. 他不只用
直问词，他另外一种说法就是直言的性格，讲得很直接啦。
He is very direct and straightforward.
我们来看哥林多后书十一章十七节到十八节。
Let's look at 2 Corinthians
十一章
chapter 11 verse 17 to 18.
我说的话不是奉主命说的，乃是像愚妄人放胆自夸。既有好些人凭着血气自夸，我也要自夸了。
17. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting.
奇怪呢，有些人，有些弟兄姐妹会叫传道不要这样讲，干嘛讲到的时候说我就像个笨蛋一样啊？愚妄人在他们那个背景，我们讲白了就是现在的笨蛋一样的意思啊。
So why would Paul see to speak as a fool？
而且还说我凭着血气自夸，他讲话非常直接，要感受一下哈。
And he also boasts just to help prove other people.
我们再看后面的二十一节到二十三节也是一样。
Same thing goes for verses 21 to 23.
我说这话是羞辱自己，好像我从前是软弱的。然而人在何事上勇敢？我说句愚妄话，我也勇敢。二十二节。
22.
他们是希伯来人吗？我也是。他们是以色列人吗？我也是。他们是亚伯拉罕的后裔吗？我也是。他们是基督的仆人吗？我说句狂话，我更是。哦，你感受一下。
So you read through this text, you can get a feel of Paul's writing.
你都觉得这个人好像快要抓狂的感觉，有没有？
You feel like this person is on the verge of losing it.
真的啦，真的啦，我们现在的传道，感谢主，我们都不敢这样讲。
Thank God, the ministers of today will not speak sermons in such a direct and harsh manner.
然后他自己也知道，他自己形容自己怎么讲话的。
And he himself knows that and is aware of his speaking and writing style.
我们请看哥林多后书十章第九节。
Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 9.
我说这话，免得你们以为我写信是要威吓你们。第十节，因为有人说他的信又沉重又厉害，几次见面却是其貌不扬，言语粗俗的。阿门。
Lest I seem to terrify you by letters, for his letters they say are weighty and powerful, but his body presence is weak.
好了，讲到这里就好了。我带大家，这一点就是在读圣经当中，我们要去理解的这个人的个性。主耶稣拣选他，其他后来的转变。
So this is a way for us to understand the characteristics of this apostle Paul, how the Lord had changed him.
我带大家去体验一下保罗的风格。
So I give you a taste of Paul's writing style, and by extension, his
personality. 如果你们有机会回去再把希伯来书读二十遍以上，你会发觉希伯来书完全没有这种感受，完全没有这种用词，这样理解吗？
And you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll find that such direct and harsh language is entirely absent.
一点都没有。
Not even one bit.
我告诉你，这种自己要改自己的笔迹不容易啊，你知道，笔迹可以鉴定的。
It's hard for us to edit our own prose.
要改掉一个人的表达方式、书写方式，几十年下来也很不容易，你们知道吗
？It's not easy for us.Somebody just to take up a different writing style after many years of doing the same.
有些文章你读这个人读久了，他如果真的到达一定的 level， 你一读大概就知道这是谁写的。
And to a certain extent, you can tell the author of a particular article if you know well enough the author's other works.
所以希伯来书完全没有保罗这些特色跟风格，
and so,
完全没有。
Paul's writing style and personality is absent from the book of Hebrews.
这是不支持者的第二个论点。
This is the second evidence of those who do not think Paul was the author.
不支持者的第三个论点是什么？
What's the third point of evidence?
保罗的书信我们不举例了，时间不够了。保罗常常会讲重要的重点之后，他自己会离题，离题啦。我们台语又砍拖太多啦。离开原来的主题。
So Paul, after expanding on certain points, may oftentimes go off tangent.
对呀，他会突然讲一讲，然后突然讲到自己以前的故事。
He will switch his topic to his past experiences, for example.
讲，突然讲到自己想到的某一段经验，然后讲完了，哎，好像离题了，再拉回来。
And then afterwards, he'll pull back to the point at hand.
好，这个不查了哈。希伯来书完全没有。
And this is entirely absent in Hebrews.
他的文字其实他写的内容越多，更容易包含出现他自己的风格，你晓得吧
The lengthier an article you write, the more likely that the writer's style comes through.
希伯来书很长的，有13章啊。
Hebrew is very long, it's 13 chapters.
它里面的编排是非常严谨、结构完整的。
And yet the content and the various points are very well arranged.
好了，我们这样讲了，好，所以这是为什么世界上有一大部分人根本不支持。希伯来书的作者是保罗的原因，我们大概就讲到这里了哈。
And this sums up the reason why people don't think that Paul was the author of this book.
所以为什么我要跟大家分享这个？哎，这个跟内容有什么关系
？So why do I share this? What does this have to do with the content?
一方面，我们分享到这里已经大概去了解到希伯来书的一些重点跟风格了。
In this discussing this, already pretty much touched upon the main points of Hebrews as well as its prose.
二方面，对那一种很因为我们这里可能美国基督徒背景的比较多嘛。
And since it's a more diverse background of Christians here in the U.S.
如果我遇到一个牧师，他就问赖传道，你们真耶稣教会很重视圣经吗
？And I meet a particular minister from another denomination and ask me, "Do you emphasize the Bible?"
我们当然不会谦卑说没有，我完全不知道圣经。
Of course, we as CJC members will not say, "Oh, we don't really know anything."
啊，请问你，希伯来书的作者是不是保罗
？Then when they ask, "Who is the author of the book of Hebrews? Is it Paul?"
如果说应该是啊，60分，对不对
？You say I'm 60% sure that's him.
他就不太想听你接下来讲的了。
Then they might not want to hear the rest of what you have to say.
然后如果说我认为是，他就举出那一些反对的论点，啊，你嘴巴张开开的，什么也不用讲了啊。
We say that 100% sure that's Paul, then they raise up the contrary evidence, then we have nothing left to say.
我相信今天晚上，如果你稍微吸收了一点，你就知道要怎么讲。如果是我，我会怎么讲
？Hopefully, we will come away knowing how to respond.
我会说，啊，这位牧师，你问得很好。
I will say, you ask.Well, your question.
我知道在历史上有两种争论，我举给你听。他就我换他嘴巴开开的。
I know there's two schools of thought here, and here are the summaries.
然后最后我的结论是说，所以既然经文没有直接讲作者是谁
，then to conclude, say since the scripture didn't say who the author is,
那我们就尊重神的启示。
Then we'll just respect the web of revelation God gives us.
把它称为希伯来书的作者就好，这不是重点，了解吗
？And we'll just refer to this person as the author of Hebrews, and not get into who this person was.
你知道通常如果很厉害的牧师听我这样讲，他接着会讲什么吗
？Do you know?
因为我真的对过好几个啊。
Now, what would the other ministers say if I discuss it like this?
他一定会说：“啊，赖传道，不要讲这么严肃，我们不要谈圣经了，来喝杯茶。”他马上圣经合起来，他不讲了。
Then,
我讲输你呀、啊。
那谁？那我 we discuss enough of the Bible. Let's just
我真的遇过好几个长老牧师，讲到最后都是不要看圣经了，我们来谈其他的事情。
And this is what I experienced with some of my interactions.
对，就是这样子。我个人呐、啊、我就把它称为希伯来书的作者，因为两面都很有论点，而且经文里面没有留线索嘛。
Because ultimately, both sides have the merits, and it doesn't go against any biblical principles.
对，在座诸位跟小弟来说，最重要的是什么
？But what matters the most to you and I?
最重要的是希伯来书里面的内容所要留给我们的，就是这样子。
The most important is what the author wants to leave with us.
好，那我们再简单讲哦，这个希伯来书的时间大概是主后六十几年。
Hebrews probably was written in around 60 AD or so.
为什么说六十几年
？Why is it in the sixties？
因为这个经卷里面提到很多当时犹太人还在献祭的事。
Because it discusses a lot of things pertaining to the sacrifice of the Jewish people.
我不翻了哈，因为时间有限。其实我在台湾这一卷我讲40节，我来三节要完成啊。
I have spent 40 sermons with the time discussing this before, somewhere I can finish in 3.
你们有兴趣就记下来，八章四节。
But just remember chapter 8 verse 4.
九章六节。
9 verse 6.
十二章二十七节。
12 verse 27.
十三章十节。
13 verse 10.
那里希伯来书这个经节都直接记载。圣殿的祭祀还继续在进行当中。
All these verses suggest that the act of sacrifices and offerings was still going on at the temple.
那在历史上，耶路撒冷的圣殿什么时候被摧毁
？When was the temple in Jerusalem destroyed？
啊，对，很厉害哦，大概是70年左右。
Around 70 AD or so.
所以表示这个成书不可能在主后70年之后，这个很容易推论啊。
So this book cannot have been written after that.
对，那。里面还有一个经文，我们来看希伯来书十二章第四节。
Let's read Hebrews chapter 12 verse 4.
希伯来书十二章第四节。
Hebrews 12 verse 4.
你们与罪恶相争，还没有抵挡到流血的地步。Amen.
You are not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin.
所以从其他前后我们发觉。他们这个时候已经感受到有些逼迫了，所以有些人已经开始在受难了。
This verse seems to apply that some members are already experiencing the effects of political persecution.
可是受难的程度，十二章第四节说还没有到流血的地步，也就是还没有到所有基督徒被抓、被斩、被杀的地步，是不是
？But the extent of persecution yet to reach the point of bloodshed or executions.
那么。在基督徒历史上，从罗马皇帝尼禄开始正式迫害，历史记录大概是64年。
Around 64 AD is the time when Emperor Nero began to actively persecute the Christians.
也因此，很多历史学圣经学者会把希伯来书的成书时间再往前推到大概63年左右。或前后就是这样来的啊，大家理解一下。
So a lot of biblical scholars think that the book of Hebrews written in AD 63 or a little earlier.
所以我们讲的这个就是解经学里面所谓的内证跟外证，有没有听过
？This is a way that we can do some biblical analysis.
啊，外证就是对圣经史地以及一些其他语文学的研究背景研究。
There's some external analysis to that seeks to understand the background and the historical.Information pertaining to this book.
为什么叫做外证？叫做经文之外的，它没有直接在这个圣经的 context 里面的。
That this is information gleaned from outside of the spiritual teachings of this book.
那我们刚刚举的那些东西叫做内证，内部的证明跟证据啊。
And then we also discuss some things pertaining to the text itself.
就时间从内证就可以推论的出来。
Which, for example, the timing of this.
不过接下来这一点跟我们比较相关，比较重要。
Now we discuss something that has that pertains more to us.
大家觉得希伯来书，如果以目前教会来讲，应该是哪一些对象来读
？What is the target audience of the book of Hebrews?
比如说，我们常常有人会问小弟说：“哎，传道他是慕道朋友，刚来接触圣经跟教会。”如果要读圣经，从哪一卷开始比较妥当？有没有考虑这个问题
？For example, some you may ask, I have a friend that was just getting to know the Bible. Which book should I have and start with?
那你们会建议呢
？What would be a suggestion?
不要怕，我又不会骂人。啊，哦，马太福音，对，不错啦。
One of the Gospels.
其实，路加福音是专门写给外邦人查考的。
For example, Luke is written principally for Gentiles.
所以我建议新约二十七卷里面从路加开始。
So I personally suggest starting with the book of Luke.
马太又提到很多犹太人的条例观念跟家谱。
Because Matthew talks more, devotes more time to Jewish customs.
马太可以摆在第二卷来跟路加做对照，我们叫对观嘛，对照观看呐，哈。
So you can probably read Matthew second to serve as a comparison.
好，那接下来讲回来，那希伯来书应该是给什么样？目前教会什么样的对象来查考的
？And then who should be the ones to study the book of Hebrews?
这个完全从经文的内证就找得出来，而且线索超多。
You can tell from the content of this book.
我们来看七点了啊。我们看希伯来书五章十二节。
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12.
希伯来书五章十二节。
Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12.
看你们学习的功夫本该做师傅，谁知还得有人将神圣圣言小学的开端另教导你们，并且成了那必须吃奶不能吃干粮的人。Amen.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are come to need milk and not solid food.
从这一节的线索什么？这一批人是听到很短，还是听到时间很长？
So the all these men here have already heard the gospel of only for a short time, for a while now.
因为这个作者直接说，你们应该要做师傅，师傅就站在讲台上讲道啦。
The author said here that by now you ought to be teachers.
好，第一个线索，听到时间很长，有没有发觉
？So again, since that the audience here have already heard of the word for quite some time.
我们请看第二章第三节，希伯来书二章三节。
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3.
我们若忽略这么大的救恩，怎能陶醉呢？这救恩起先是主亲自讲的，后来是听见的人给我们证实了。Amen.
How shall we escape when neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?
所以你发觉这一批听信跟读信的人，他们几乎都没有直接接触过耶稣基督，读得出来吗？
Can you get a sense that these readers here have not have personal experience with the Lord Jesus?
也就是说，这救恩起先是主亲自讲的，后来是听见的人给我们证实了。所以这一批读信的人来信主，是借由别人间接证道而来的，读得出来吗？
Because it describes the salvation as being spoken by the Lord and then confirmed to those who heard him. So the audience members here are hearing the word salvation secondhand.
那我问大家，跟我们像不像？
Is it a lot like us?
还是你们有些人直接跟随过主耶稣，听他讲过道才来信的？
Or anyone here who have personally heard the word of the Lord from Jesus?
这个线索跟我们百分之百相似，有没有？我们都是借由其他人的间接见证或怎么样才来信的嘛。
We have heard of the word from testimonies from other people.
我们来看第六章第十节。
Let's look at chapter 6, verse 10.
第六章第十节。
Chapter 6, verse 10.
因为神并非不公义，竟忘记你们所做的功和你们为他名所显的爱心，就是先前伺候圣徒，如今还是伺候。Amen.
For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister.
我们请看13章的一节二节。
Let's look at chapter 13, verse 1 and 2.
你们务要长存弟兄相爱的心，不可忘记用爱心接待客旅，因为曾有接待客旅的不知不觉的就接待了天使。
The brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some unwittingly entertain angels.
所以从这里发觉说，这一批读信的人，他们常常接待圣徒，也有很多善行，而且他们做过很多功了，哦，看得出来哦。
You can get a sense that the audience here have already done a lot of hospitality and other types of holy work for the church.
而且这一批圣徒，他们的信仰根基还蛮深厚的。
And their spiritual foundation is quite firm.
为什么？我们来看第十章三十二节第四个线索。
Let's look at chapter 10, verse 32.
十章三十二节到三十四节。
32 to 34.
你们要追念往日蒙了光照以后所忍受大征战的各样苦难。33节。
32.
一面被毁谤遭患难成了戏景叫众人观看，一面陪伴那些受这样苦难的人。34节。因为你们体恤的那些被捆锁的人，并且你们的家业被人抢去，也甘心忍受，知道自己有更美长存的家业。Amen. 不简单啊。
It's not easy to go through all this that's described here in these verses.
如果你今天因为信耶稣，信到你的财产全部被美国政府没收，你还会到教会来祷告吗？
If because of our faith, all our assets are confiscated by the government, will we still want to come to church?
这一批信徒里面有一部分已经经历这样子的患难，
Some,
已经经历了。
These members here already experienced such tribulation.
虽然还没有被杀。
Although they have not been experiencing.
在两千年前那个时候，哦，你的信耶稣财产很容易全部被没收的。
Back then, it's common for government to seize the asset of Christians.
因为那个时候，我就看过当时的背景法律哈，他检举成功的人，至少可以得到你财产的二分之一到四分之一，哦，太好赚了吧
？Because those people who have who report to authorities of your faith get to keep a portion of the seized assets.
我检举你是基督徒，只要罗马政府证明很简单啊。
And it's easy to prove whether somebody is a Christian.
我看以前的文献哦，把你抓过来说，你在我面前咒诅耶稣基督，马上就可以无罪离开。
Because the authorities will tell the person who has been arrested, I want you to curse the name of Jesus in front of me right now.
我问你们，你们真正信耶稣的会咒诅耶稣吗
？But those who believe in Jesus dare to curse his name?
只要不咒诅，马上就是定罪，你就是基督徒。
If you dare not to curse the name of Jesus, then you are considered a Christian.
到后来破坏的时候，小孩子马上杀死，男的马上就，女的甚至杀死或拿到竞技场去喂狮子，了解吗
？Later, when the persecution became rougher, many people were killed on the spot or fed to lions.
为什么都躲到罗马的地下墓穴去躲那么多年？
And thus the church was forced underground for years.
可是这个时候还不到那个地步。
But they were not at that point yet.
那时候只要检举你财产$100,000，我检举成功了，$500,000是我的。所以很多人这样子马上就完蛋了。
Back then it was just people being accused of being Christians, and then the accuser getting half of the seized assets.
这一招很厉害。
And this is.Quite,
今天我们在经济上受到一点压迫，有人可能就抱怨主耶稣不愿意来了。
If we experience some inconveniences, we may already be tempted to complain to God.
你看我们这些前辈同龄多么不简单。
How much so if we lose all of our wealth?
他们当中有一部分已经财产都被没收抢去了，还继续来教会服事，还来敬拜。
Yet,
我告诉你，我都想说，我做得出来吗？不简单哎。
Yet there are those who still continue to come to church worship even after losing everything to the government.
我们来看第五个线索。
Let's look at the fifth point.
希伯来书十三章第七节。
Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7.
从前引导你们传神之道给你们的人，你们要想念他们，效法他们的信心。留心看他们为人的结局 ，Amen.
Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of the conduct.
大家想想这一节哦，所以这些人，这些信徒，是不是只受一个人的教导
？Do those members only receive teaching for one particular person?
没有，他们受到一群传道者的教导，跟我们像不像？
They were taught by many ministers, a lot like us today.
我们历年来有派任过多少注目传道
？How many resident ministers have we had?
所以说，你们要想念他们，效法他们，他们被一群人这么多年来教导过了。
We need to consider the outcome, the conduct, and learn from the example.
好，我们来看十三章二十四节第六个线索。
Let's look at chapter 13, verse 24.
请你们问引导你们的诸位和众圣徒安，从意大利来的人也问你们安。所以从这里发觉，他们不是刚成立，他们认识远方教会的弟兄姐妹。
Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints, those who Italy greet you. So these members have some familiarity with other believers from afar.
不止这样，再看二十三节。
Let's also look at verse 23.
他们还认识提摩太，把他称为弟兄。
They also know Timothy as their own brother.
好，所以从这七个内证的线索里面，这是在形容谁？形容什么样的对象
？So what kind of audience have been described here?
我告诉，这不是在形容圣职人员。
This is referring to holy workers.
这也不是在形容慕道者。
And not true seekers.
这也不是在形容初信者。
And not first-time believers.
简单讲，希伯来书是写给老信徒看的。
It's written for long believe for all-time members.
哦，我说老信徒不要只有65岁以上的哈。
It's not just those who are.Advanced in age.
大概你信主三到五年以上，大概就符合这个资格。
Once you have believed for 3 to 5 years, you can be considered well seasoned enough to be of this audience.
刚刚吃晚饭的时候，小弟有荣幸跟周执事坐在一起聊聊天。
And the chance to discuss with our deacon Cho during this past dinner.
我提到我信主到现在不到二十年，你们当中很多人小孩子都比我信的时间还要长啊。
I said to him that I have yet been 20 years since I first believed, and many here who have been members much longer.
你们当中超过二十岁的比我更老。
So those who are each one here older than me.
希伯来书就是专门写给老信徒看的，这样理解了哈。
It's written for the seasoned believers.
所以我们当中认为自己符合这个资格的，神要我们查考这一卷，会得到很多不一样的东西。
And so we keep this in mind and study, God will impart to us a lot.
就好像路加福音最适合那些外邦来接触真理的人先查考是一样的道理。
And just like how the book of Luke is best for true seekers from non-Christian backgrounds.
好，那我用最后一点时间来讲了，因为祷告上次差不多。接下来明天我会把希伯来书十三章做两种分段，这样大家会抓到它的重点。
I will use two different ways to analyze Hebrews for tomorrow's message to help us gain understanding.
因为分段在解经学里面是很重要的。
Because it's important to be able to break things into sections to understand the contents.
这个段不是照着我们手上翻译本，它那个粗黑体字给它分的段，不是这个意思啦。
Dividing text into sections is not just about seeing what the Bible has already headlined.And separated certain sections.
有时候这个段啊，可能是一章里面就会分好几段。
Certain sections can exist. Many sections can exist within a particular chapter.
我们解经学叫做框架理论，就不讲了哈。有时候那个一段可能要两三章，甚至十几章才只有一段哦。
But other sections can be as long as multiple chapters.
当你在真理圣灵引导之下。你能够分段，可能每个人分的有点不一样。你分出段来，你就会抓出多少重点，这样理解吗
？By the number of sections you choose to break into, it affects how many things you can glean from the passage.
那小弟为什么会查考希伯来书？因为之前我们真耶稣教会至少台湾总会没有希伯来书的释义书了。
Because in Jewish church for a while, we did not have any any books pertaining to the content of the Hebrews.
哦，没有这方面的著作，那我只好从神学院的历史讲义里面去找。
So I had to look through other texts and from our theological seminary to put this together.
那最后点时间，我讲一讲，我找到两本两位前辈写的。
And I found two books that are written by two people that came before me.
啊，一位是林永基长老，大家认识吗？
One is Elder written by Elder Yongji Lin.
那个是他单纯在神学院里面教的，他有把这十三章做分段。
He had broken up these 13 chapters into sections.
然后他的分段法是把每一章就做一段，所以有十三个段落。
He divided the sections by chapter, one section per chapter.
我念给大家听啊，他很快翻译，体会一下就好了。那第一章叫做更美的耶稣。
The first is a better Jesus.
第二，更美的救赎。
Second, a better salvation.
第三，更美的使者。
Third, a better angel.
第四章，更美的安息。
Fourth, a better rest.
第五章，更美的祭司。
Fifth, a better priesthood.
第六章，更美的成长。
Sixth, a better growth.
第七章，更美的职分。
Seventh, a better position.
第八章，更美的新约。
Eighth, a better covenant.
第九章，更美的条例。
Nine, a better law.
第十一章，更美的信心。
Eleventh,a better faith.
十二章更美的盼望。
Twelve, a better hope.
十三章更美的爱心。
Thirteen, a better love.
也这样一念完，你就要有收获了。所以希伯来书在讲什么？更美的，有没有
？So the point of Hebrews is to describe something that's better.
这是我们林长老在神学院讲里面一章分一段这样抓出来。
This is the per chapter sectioning done by Elder Yongji Lin.
可是这样更美的一堆，我觉得好像我可以再把它。用不一样的。那我现在讲第二位是罗真生传道，大家听过吗
？Then the second is by preacher Jensen Lo.
他也担任过我们台湾神学院的院长哦。这两位都当过院长。
He was once the head of our church's theological seminary in Taiwan.
哦，他就比较简单了，他把这十三章分成四个段落而已。
He divided these 13 chapters into four sections.
所以他把第一章到第四章叫做主耶稣比众神仆更美。
First section, chapters 1 through 4, speaks that Jesus is better than all the other religious figures.
然后四章十二节到七章二十八节第二段。
Chapter 4, verse 12 to chapter 7, verse 28 is the second section.
主耶稣比旧约大祭司更美。
Jesus is better than the high priest of the Old Testament.
然后八章一节到十章三十九节第三段。
Chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 10, verse 39.
主耶稣比旧约的祭拜更美。
Speaks of Jesus is better than the former worship of the Old Testament.
所以大家有没有发觉他的前三大段也都是更美，有没有？
So these three first sections also talks, first three sections talks about what's better.
讲到现在，希伯来书第一个重点你们要抓到了哦，叫做更美，更美。
Hebrews just speaks to something that is better.
我只是希望你们记起来，要不然我在那边讲一个小时浪费了嘛。更美这个你至少要记起来啊。
We understand this point.
好，那罗传道的第四段从十一章第一节一直到最后。
From chapter 11, verse 1 to the end.
他说对信徒灵性的鼓励。
Speaks of encouragement for one's faith.
那当然小弟把这个讲出来表示我的分段跟他们不太一样。
And speaking all this to, it's a point of saying that I have come up with my own divisions of sections.
不过可以参考。
But you can use these as reference.
但是感谢主，我现在听说台总维利美已经要出版那个陈忠阳传道的希伯来书的释义书啦。
But this a Taiwan General Assembly is planning to release a publication for as a Bible study guide of the Book of Hebrews.
所以大家以后可以看得到了。我不晓得跟我哪里一样，我都还没看过啦。
Have yet to seen it, so I don't know.The similarities between what this other pastor has been.
那明天我会带着大家，我把整个十三章分成两大段，然后有几个重点，就是这样再讲给大家听。
I'm gonna break this book into two main sections and then just talk about the main points.
好，那时间关系，我们今天就见证到这里。
So this concludes the message for tonight.
好，一起来吟诗，赞美诗四百零一首。
Let's sing hymn 401.